Listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820, brings you Family Sanctuary, a show that inspires living the gospel message in word and deed within our families. And now, Family Sanctuary, with host Peggy Hartshorn.
Welcome to our program, Family Sanctuary, focusing on life-giving relationships and the family. I'm your host, Peggy Hartshorn, chairman of Heartbeat International, that advances life-affirming pregnancy help around the world. And we have a very important program for you today, and one that I know will probably be touching as well to you, and hopefully bring some information that will be very helpful for you and for those you know who are going through a process of grieving, particularly grieving because of a family loss. And we're going to be talking today about how important this is in our culture, how many families are going through trauma and stress and have to face the loss of someone within the family and all the sorrow and grieving that entails. And how do you work through that? And can we find light at the end of the tunnel? That's what we're going to be talking about today. And I have two guests with us that have powerful stories to share. First of all, Kevin Gallagher, who is the executive director of a wonderful program that we have available here in Columbus, not available elsewhere, so we're truly blessed. It's called Cornerstone of Hope, a center for grieving children, teens, and adults. So welcome to the program, Kevin.
Thank you, Peggy. It's great to be here with you.
Well,
thank
great you. To have you. And I want you to share definitely about the program and what it offers to us. Thanks for being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
And you've brought a wonderful guest with you, a friend
yes.
and person who's participated in the program, and that is Jill Smock. Jill, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thanks for being willing to tell your story as well and the story of your family and why you needed the help of Cornerstone of Hope. Jill lost her daughter, Marissa, 4 years ago. And so she's going to be telling us about that loss and about the need it created within her family, and how Cornerstone of Hope could help with that. So, well, Jill, before I have you tell your story, I want Kevin to explain a little bit to our listening audience about the need for Cornerstone of Hope and why Cornerstone of Hope was even founded in the beginning. Grieving within families, I guess families always have had to grieve losses. But now, and when I think of grieving loss within the family, of course, I think of grandparents, loss of the grandparents, mm-hmm. loss of a parent, loss of a spouse. And often those things happen when the person gets quite a bit older, mm-hmm. has gone through mm-hmm. sickness. We're expecting that kind of a loss, and maybe have been through the grieving process for those kinds of losses in our family through generations. But families today are really facing a lot of other issues that are causing a tremendous trauma in the family. Kevin, speak a little bit to that and why Cornerstone of Hope was founded.
Well, Cornerstone of Hope is an organization that's been here in Columbus since 2011.
Okay.
It got started. There was our founders, Mark and Christy Tripodi, a great couple that had at one point had a son, Bobby, 3 years old. They thought he had the flu. They took him to the emergency room and thought he was a little bit dehydrated. And sadly, even before they left the emergency room, Bobby had died, only to discover that he had meningitis. And they were devastated. And their family was just, it wreaked havoc on them for quite some time. And it was probably another 3 years before they finally had founded something called Cornerstone of Hope, because they wanted people to not go through what they went through without the services and the support that, that they never received. They thought there should be more of that. So they wanted to provide that. So they established Cornerstone of Hope. And, and since that time, Cornerstone has assisted many people and many families. And of course, initially, I think a lot of the grief that was dealt with was just simply the grief of, like you would say, the grandparents or even at times maybe the accident or the person who died of cancer, that kind of thing. Kind of a what you might expect, if
the
you
stories
will.
The stories we're familiar with,
absolutely.
Sure, from
and
all families.
And if we think of those type of deaths, frequently we might say, well, what's the real need of Cornerstone? I've had grandparents that have died. I haven't needed, you know, any type
special
of
help.
Therapy or special help, exactly, to help me through that grief. But times are a little bit different now. I think there's a terrible crisis of faith and a crisis of purpose. So when people lose loved ones, sometimes they don't understand what life is about or even what death is about. They have no faith really buoying them up to help them. And that's a real problem. So we're seeing so much more. And because of that crisis of faith and that crisis of purpose, we're starting to see some other things involved as well, such as a 33% increase of suicide statewide in Ohio over prior year. 33%. It's just horrendous. And we're seeing an awful lot of that today in Cornerstone of Hope. There's also here in Franklin County alone, 47.3% increase over prior year of accidental overdose. So it's just so much more that we're seeing today of that crisis. And because we're in this faith environment, we can talk a little bit about it. I think, you know, when I see kids that are committing suicide, when I see girls that are committing suicide, you know, I mean, they're little girls that are looking for knights in shining armor. They're looking for the right date. They're looking for the right guy, the guy that's going to respect them and love them. And so frequently, if we see statistics, what we're seeing is that so many girls are, you know, involved in, you know, sexual encounters and lack of love and love in all the wrong places and that kind of thing. And I think that gives them an understanding of life is just not worth it. Life is a dead end. Life is ugly. It's not beautiful. It's not purpose-filled. It's not faithful. And sometimes when their families don't go to church and understand what the purpose of life is, I think they see kind of a dead end. It's the same thing when we're taking a look at, you know, some of the men that commit suicide, and you see that between ages of big numbers, 45 and 55. These are men that have spent their lives probably as dukes and then as princes, building their kingdoms, trying to get closer. And then when they finally see the on the horizon where they're becoming kings, their families are growing, or maybe not even that old yet, but they've got some money established, a few toys, the house, you know, that kind of thing. They own a home. And if that's all there is, all of a sudden life becomes terribly empty. And it seems as if it might lead to that crisis of purpose. And it's amazing then how many suicides we'll see. In fact, we did see in 1 week coming to Cornerstone of Hope, three gentlemen who committed suicides. It was the same scenario in all three of those situations where there was a mother and a daughter that encountered the father. You know, the differences were the age of the daughters and the placement of the body of the father. You know, one was, and all hung themselves, and they were all from, you know, one was in a garage, one was in a master closet, one was in a basement, you know, and it just was, it's heart-wrenching. And then it leaves family members behind to try and decipher, what is this all about?
Sure.
You know, if it's about kids, the kids, the whole world revolves around themselves. So everything that's done, even outside of themselves, is about them. So the young girls are thinking, you know, my dad committed suicide. Well, he obviously didn't love me. All those good times we had didn't mean enough to him to continue to live, and he didn't really want to have any more of them. So the logical conclusion is I was not loved.
Sure. Families blame themselves.
Right. And without healing, you know, a girl like that is going to find love in all the wrong places when she's trying to find a purpose to life. So that's one of the reasons Cornerstone, I think, is so valuable, at least for that type of person. But, you know, maybe that's a little bit of the, it seems the extremes, but when you've got this many numbers of suicide and accidental overdose, you know, it seems like there's such a great need. And we're still trying desperately to reach out to everyone. So, you know, that's our goal.
I like what you're saying, the way you phrased it in terms of a crisis of faith and crisis of purpose. So those certainly are issues that are plaguing our culture today, plaguing individual families. And so it's obvious that that the need for something like Cornerstone of Hope, it's tremendous in our world today. And Jill, I'd like to introduce you again at this point. Jill Smock, who has taken advantage of the services of Cornerstone of Hope. Welcome again, Jill, to our program. Yeah, Jill, I know because you've shared a little bit of your story with me that yours is not a situation where there was a suicide in the family. It wasn't that kind of a of of a situation, but nevertheless, it was a shocking and unexpected death in your family. Can you tell us a little bit about your story and how you actually found Cornerstone of Hope? And then we'll talk a little bit about how that process that they helped you through has affected you.
Okay. You know, one of the things I think I also learned to kind of backtrack, it really doesn't matter how someone died. Hmm. It's the fact someone you loved died.
It's gone.
And in the case for me and for my husband, the fact that it was a child loss and everything that you hear about and read, that because it's such an unnatural timing and order of things, that it comes with its own unique challenges. But one of the things that I think I found in my first group in Cornerstone is that love is love and grief is grief. So to tell you about Marissa, Marissa was 19. She was up at John Carroll University. It was her freshman year, finals week, and Marissa had asthma. Asthma that was sometimes severe and sometimes under control. And I think it was kind of everything at once: lack of sleep because of finals, stress, pollen counts up crazy up in Northwest Ohio, that she was just really having a lot of trouble. And I think she was really trying just to get through finals and come home. She was on her nebulizers. She had all the things that she needed as far as that. But she went into distress and the squad was called and she went to the hospital up there and they just couldn't save her.
Couldn't save her.
We got a call. My husband got a call at work. I was on my way to a work conference and he said, a hospital called. We need to get up there for Marissa. And I said, her asthma? And he said, I think so. He didn't tell me at that time until we were together. He said, let's meet. And as I say, that look on his face when we got out of the car and he looked at me and shook his head, I just knew. Mm-hmm. And I'll say that was the start of my before and my after. Hmm. The after is extremely painful forever. It's a journey. But I really am thankful that Cornerstone exists here in Columbus. And I've said that to everyone. I've tried to share that resource in the fact that you are in such pain and you are just, honestly, when we talk about things like suicide and things, I think we don't know the mental health and the pain that people are in. Mm-hmm. And for the first time I could feel this pain and I knew I necessarily didn't want to live with that pain. But I also had children and I needed to be there for them. I didn't want to put them through any more agony. And I also had such a great love for my daughter, Marissa, who had passed. So I was like looking, what was I going to need to continue to live? And so, you know, there's employee assistance programs. And that was one of the first things I turned to and I called in. And that process was a very nice nurse. She's in another state. She's hearing my story. And again, it's in the, you know, first month of this pain. And they basically gave me three different options to talk to. And one of those, they didn't fit. The last one was they even said, this is a life coach. That's not what you need. And so I was kind of expressing some things to some people. And I really think it was a friend that works in the same field. I'm in the alcohol and drug prevention field, who had heard of Cornerstone of Hope. And so I called them up and I was really lucky that a group was going to be starting soon. And so I went, I think they're 9 or 10 weeks of people that have lost somebody that they love. And this was, they had lost spouses or parents or boyfriends or children. And it was the opportunity to be heard, be taken care of, be guided and supported, that was just so essential to this journey. And to me, grief is not it's not stages of grief. We're incorporating grief into our lives. I'm learning to walk with grief and loss the same way I work walk with love. Mm-hmm. And that's where Cornerstone gets people when they're the most broken and helps them in that way. And so I went to that group. And then I also, they had a group after that that was just for those of us in child loss. And that was the...
Could I reintroduce you, Jill?
Sure.
Because I know some people may have just joined our program, and I want to make sure that they know, obviously, you're talking about grief and the loss of your child, which is such a traumatic grief. But I love what you said, that grief is experienced no matter what the circumstances are, if it's a spouse, a parent, a grandparent, even if it's a grief that I mentioned earlier, where you are grieving through the sickness of the person before they die, still you need the same kind of help and support to process it. Thank you for that. Mm-hmm. Our guest today is Jill Smock, who's telling her story of grieving the loss of her daughter, Marissa, who died 4 years ago in an asthma attack, a very unexpected. And our guest also is Kevin Gallagher, who is the executive director of Cornerstone of Hope, the program that you found, Jill, that really helped you through the grieving process. And Jill's been talking about the, I loved what you said, that you were learning to grieve like love. It's a constant process. I think that's what you were saying. Mm-hmm. Or it's always with you. Explain that again, because it's such an interesting insight. You were learning to grieve like you were learning to love.
I think part... our society, our culture is uncomfortable with grief.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what the mission, and because I had the services of Cornerstone and was able to be supported and meet other folks, that having those conversations that grief isn't just, you're not going to get to the end and ring a bell, oh, I'm done missing
right.
this person that I loved. You will miss them forever. You will grieve forever. That grief changes. It's part of a journey. And you do find joy again. At the same time, you are also in pain that you miss this person. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of finding that space where joy and grief can exist mm-hmm. together. And I think our culture wants to put grief over in a corner and not talk about we're uncomfortable. And I say all the time, you're not making me sad because you brought up my daughter. You know, I want to talk about her. She mm-hmm. is my child. And when people ask, how many children do you have? I say three. I have one that's 27, one that's 23, and one that's forever 19. And, you know, I know she's in heaven, and I know someday I will be there. In the beginning, I couldn't wait to be there. But mm-hmm. now I know I am here for purpose, as Kevin talked about,
mm-hmm.
If sharing about Marissa and the asthma and grief is part of that purpose, I do it for her and because of all the other blessings that have come into my life because of it. One of a couple that I met at that first Cornerstone group is one of my blessings of a support group. I have met other parents that have lost their children or their spouses and we're there for each other. And I think that's one of the other things, because I had that help at Cornerstone, allows me then to possibly be there for others. And what I give, I also get back in return.
Sure. And how God can really turn these horrible evils into good, bring good out of them, I should say. And your life is radically changed. And yet God's also given you an additional purpose in your life that you didn't realize before. Mm-hmm. So that's it's a beautiful story. You mentioned that you started with a general grief group, and that helped you understand that grieving, regardless of the circumstances, is very similar. You've lost a loved one. There's a gigantic hole in your life.
Mm-hmm.
I think you mentioned to me earlier, too, that so many people, of course, are it's a time when they sometimes are questioning their faith, questioning God, being angry with God. And that's something that also you saw was similar for those who are grieving.
Oh, you know, most definitely. I think that's, you can't go through such a loss. And there's a, I think the fact that you're allowed to question that, and again, Cornerstone for me, that the premise that it was open for anyone, and it mm-hmm. didn't matter what religion you were, if you were spiritual, did not have a religion, everybody was there and welcome. And I think one of the things that was, I don't know if the God was not, he did not take Marissa from me. He doesn't need more angels up there in heaven, but he allows then she's safe. She's with him. Yeah. And he then will give me what I need to continue here on earth for the time I'm here on earth.
And until you can be reunited.
Until we can be reunited, there are blessings that are provided. And he does that through other human beings for me.
Right. We are his hands and we are his feet. Yes. It's beautiful that people who have been through the program, and even as they're going through the program, can support each other. You shared with me too, there is a special grief, I believe, and I think you probably would acknowledge that when you've lost a child, because it is so unexpected. You know, we're supposed to die before our children. Mm-hmm. It is such a shock. And you said there was a friend from Notre Dame who wrote you particularly about a mother's grief.
Right. She's a dean up at Notre Dame. She went to school with my husband up there, and she was one of the ones that was immediately by my side when Marissa passed. And she had written about Virgin Mary and how she must have felt when her son Jesus passed. And I wish I had it because she wrote very eloquently. but I remember that was something that I've held with me, is that she too, that a horrific death that she grieved for her son mm-hmm. in a way that I grieve for my mm-hmm. my daughter. Not
sure.
Not comparing the two, of course. Marissa was a human, and
Jesus was divine, right. But also human.
Right. Exactly.
And his mother was so human, and her yes. grief was so human, and likewise yours. It's a beautiful story. Well, Kevin, tell us now. I know that Jill's story is so powerful. Mm-hmm. I think you and I talked a little bit earlier about how the reaching out of care for people like Jill and those mm-hmm. who are going through grieving puts them in touch with others. And you see that all the time in your work.
Oh, absolutely.
That they then can support each other. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. Which is the value of the groups.
Yes. Yeah.
As well.
You know, for us, it's an honor, really, to be able to help Jill and her family through these times, and really so many others as well. It's an honor because it's a part of our mission. And our mission is something, we don't want people to have to journey through this grief alone. So it's really something that we want to offer and for everyone. That's why our services are truly free or minimally priced, mm-hmm. so that everybody can come in. And our belief is that if people can get together to support one another, that's a good thing. Because each person, you know, our very founding is about this, you know, as with, you know, Catholic founders. Their belief is that each person possesses a dignity and an integrity that deserves so much. They recognize the value of helping each person, and we want to be able to help. We want to help mm-hmm. more than we have even been able to help in the Central Ohio area so far. And we want to make sure that people realize that grief is not something abnormal, but very normal. So it's healing that we're trying to offer. And sure. for those that want to take the grief and just hold it inside, it's not the way to heal from mm-hmm. it. You know, you've got to go through the pain and get through it. You'll never lose the love of that person. You'll never lose the memory of that person. Mm-hmm. You'll never lose anything. You still have that. But the grief gets to be different. You go through it. So it's something very normal and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. What about you? You have families going through this. Mm-hmm. Are there women and men in the groups and mm-hmm. and teenagers sometimes? And
there are. We see all different ages. I'd say that our numbers are probably about 50-50 between children and adults. The vast majority of adults, sadly, are solely women. We have many men that are tough enough to, you know, tough it up.
I was just thinking
it's very sad because they really believe they can just hold it inside and not speak about it. And what that means is not working through the grief. And grief, sadly, unresolved grief is the number one cause of drug abuse. Mm. So it's time for even men to say, okay, if this is a tragedy, if this is a trauma, if this is something above and beyond, come and get the help. You know, we're here.
Right.
We'll be happy to assist in any way that we can. And we've got different services available, from summer camps for kids to individual counseling to groups, as Jill had mentioned. We do in-school groups these days as well, which helps many people, memorial service, family workshops. Just a whole vast array of things that we find are helpful for people in need.
That's wonderful. School groups. When a tragedy occurs, one of the children in the school, is this why the school groups then are formed? Then the teachers recognize our children need some help here dealing with that.
Well, and in fact, what happens is we've got groups that, you know, children's groups, we just cannot get them to our office in Upper Arlington,
so
we got to go
out
to the kids.
That's wonderful. You're there for them. Mm-hmm. Well, our guests today have been from Cornerstone of Hope, sharing the grieving opportunities that they provide for the community, for families particularly. Thank you for being with us. If you want to contact Cornerstone of Hope, if you are a person who needs the services of Cornerstone of Hope, they prefer that you call them directly at 614-824-4285. And if you want more information about the program in general, their website, cornerstoneofhope.org. So thank you again for being with us. You've been listening to St. Gabriel Catholic Radio with archives of our program, The Family Sanctuary, on stgabrielradio.com. We're streaming live also on stgabrielradio.com. And our program is broadcast at 4:00 every Saturday and 2:00 on Sundays. So please join us again to strengthen our families and make them sanctuaries of life as God intended.
Family Sanctuary is a production of listener-supported St. Gabriel Catholic Radio, AM 820. Archives of Family Sanctuary with Peggy Hartshorn are available at stgabrielradio.com.